Animals often play a symbolic role in literature, sometimes as personified characters themselves, and sometimes through their frequent association with a human character. In Gabriel García Márquez's 100 Years of Solitude, for example, as Renata Remedios begins to fall in love with Mauricio Babilonia, she notices that whenever he's nearby, a swarm of yellow butterflies flutters through the air. They hover above the garage where he works, and their flapping wings can be heard echoing through crowds, so that she did not have to see him to know that he was there, because the butterflies were always there. And though she did not know exactly why, she understood that the butterflies had something to do with him. In like manner, in Parshat Chayei Sarah, wherever Rebecca goes, camels seem to follow her, and we begin to understand that they have something to do with her. They will function as the vehicle for finding her and then bringing her back to the land of Canaan, and they will even serve as key figures in determining whether she is the right partner for Isaac and the next matriarch in the covenant. Lest we dismiss their prominence here in Rebecca's origin story, presuming camels to be an ordinary Middle Eastern beast of burden, let us note from the outset, there are more mentions of camels in chapter 24 of Genesis than in the rest of the Torah combined. After Abraham dispatches his servant to go back to his birthplace to find a wife for Isaac, the first thing the servant does is take 10 of his master's camels, Asara Gmalim Migamle Adonav, and then he promptly sets off for Aram Naharaim. Abraham, after all, is the only person we've seen with camels before this. He acquired them early on during his stay in Egypt. As soon as the servant arrives, we read, he knelt down the camels, vayavrech hagmalim, and then he begins to pray to God. In his prayer, he lays out the conditions for a strangely specific test he intends to conduct there at the well, and calls on God to guide the results. Vahaya hanar asher omer aleha, let the girl to whom I say, please, lower your jar that I may drink, and who replies, drink, shte, and I will also give water to your camels, v'gam gmalecha ashke, let her be the one whom you have shown to be for your servant Isaac, and through this I will know that you have done kindness with my master. No sooner has he finished his prayer when Rebecca arrives at the well with a jug to fill with water. When Abraham's servant asks her for a sip, she immediately tells him to drink and lowers her jug to give him water. Then, as soon as he's finished, she says the magic words. Gam ligmalecha eshav. I will also draw for your camels until they finish drinking. Success! This is the woman the servant has been seeking. God has apparently guided him right to her. So, as soon as the camels finish drinking, he brings out jewelry to offer her and asks to be taken to speak to her family. There he recounts the scene at the well, laying special emphasis, once again, on Rebecca's extra attention to the animals. V'gam hagmalim hishkata. She also gave water to the camels. Then he asks if they will consent to let Rebecca go back with him, and they eventually put the question directly to Rebecca, who responds with one word, Elech, I will go. And after receiving some parting blessings, she and her maids get up and mount, what else? The camels. And off they go. Camels, camels everywhere. By this point, we can surely conclude that the recurring image of camels is more than mere coincidence. The camel has become a motif in this story, a symbol that the Torah seems to be purposefully attaching to Rebecca. The association is in place. The question then is, what exactly does the camel symbolize? How might we answer such a question? What are our tradition's methods for interpreting symbols in the Torah's narrative? The rabbis of the Talmud offer a proto-psychoanalytic approach. If you see a camel in a dream, they say, it means death was decreed upon you from heaven, but you have been spared. No surprise that the camel, which brings a person across the arid desert, might be seen as a symbol of survival. Perhaps Rebecca, who will cross a desert to give life to the next generation, is just the salvation that this family needs to save it from dying out. Within the text of the Torah itself, however, the symbolic meaning of a particular object or image is often forged through an underlying philological connection. To determine the significance of camels, then, we might take the root of the Hebrew word for camel, gimel mem lamed, and ask how else we've seen it used in the Torah. When the root is used to form a noun, gamal, it always refers to a camel. But it also appears in the Torah as a verb, ligmol, with a different connotation. Our most traditional association with that verb is when it's used as a word for giving, as in Psalm 13's Ashir Lashem ki gamal alai, I will sing to God for God has given gamal to me. Another classic usage comes from our liturgy, the Hagomel blessing, customarily said during the Torah service if someone in the congregation has survived a life-threatening experience. They thank God for having given me every goodness, Shigmalani Kol Tov. In rabbinic literature, the verb becomes most commonly associated with Gmilut Chasadim, the giving of kindnesses, one of the great pillars upon which Shimon HaTzadik tells us the world stands. These connections do seem rather apt to Rebecca. The virtue of kindness is precisely what she was being tested on. Would she show life-giving kindness to a thirsty stranger? And could she even find it in her heart to show kindness to his animals? She passes the test with flying colors, characterizing herself from the start with the trait of kindness. That trait also connects Rebecca to the legacy of Abraham, whom the prophet Micah identified with the quality of kindness, Chesed LaAvram. Rebecca is indeed a parallel figure to Abraham in many ways. She comes from his homeland, and she begins her journey to a new land with a call to go forward, Elech. She also clearly shares with her father-in-law a readiness to perform acts of kindness to passing strangers. As if to signal this connection, when Abraham's servant prays for a successful mission, he specifically asks God to do kindness, chesed, with his master. He mentions it no less than 4 times throughout the story. Perhaps Rebecca, who herself showed kindness to both the servant and the camels, is the embodiment of that kindness that Abraham's servant prayed for. This makes Rebecca both a worthy inheritor of the Abrahamic covenant and a kind of living, breathing reward for his own kindness. There is, however, one other verb in the Torah formed from the gimel mem lamed root that bears consideration. This one is in the passive construction, lehigamel. In fact, it appeared just a few chapters before Rebecca's story. Isaac had just been miraculously born, and in anticipation of a great celebration, the Torah tells us, Ve'yigdal ha'yeled, the child grew, ve'yigamal, and was weaned. And Abraham made a great feast on the day higamel, he was weaned. In this case, the usage refers specifically to the weaning of a child, the bringing it to the state of independence from the sustenance of its mother's breast. There's a reason this meaning is connected to the word for the animal. A camel is a creature that is uniquely able to survive for long periods independent of any water source. So we come to understand that one of the broader meanings of the shared root, gimel, mem, lamed, is something like to become independent. That quality of independence is also one that describes Rebecca perfectly. She's the one who's able to decide for herself, Elech, that she will leave her life and everyone she knows to set off on a new adventure. She's also the one who will act independently of her husband to direct the course of the next generation, when she hatches her plan to make Jacob the inheritor, basing her decisions on messages from God to which she alone has access. The specific connotation of weaning also has significance in Rebecca's story. The last time we see Rebecca on a camel, as she's riding back with Abraham's servant, she encounters Isaac, who's gone out into the fields to meditate. He looks up and, like Renata Remedios and those yellow butterflies, before he even sees Rebecca, he sees, Vehine gmalim ba'im, behold, camels are coming. Rebecca comes down off her camel, and Isaac and Rebecca seem immediately enchanted with one another. Our chapter then closes with this haunting psychological reflection. Vayivieha Yitzchak ha'ohela Sara imo. Isaac then brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah, and he took Rebekah as his wife. Isaac loved her, and thus found comfort after his mother's death. Rebekah has weaned Isaac once again, this time not from his mother's breast, but from the shelter of her protective care. And so, as Rebekah steps into the space that Sarah once occupied, she's weaning the coming generation from the previous one. She's pushing our story forward, as she will continue to do as the great matriarch of the age. Like the mighty camel, Rebekah will take great burdens upon herself, forge ahead into the unknown, and carry her people to survival.